Let's make it happen, Captain!
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
Welcome to Defrag. All right, so a late start this morning. I forgot the power to my laptop. I'm using the studio PC, but...
That laptop that you have, man, I've not seen such a power-hungry monster in a very long time.
So like, I like to rock the 17-inch Envy because
it's
like a
desktop. And constantly be tethered to some power outlet.
I know.
I mean, you should be carrying around this giant UPS with you.
Well, I've got a big battery for it, but I don't like the big battery. It makes it sit up funny and stuff like that. So, and, you know, I'm always around power with it anyway. I got other machines if I need to, you know, go mobile.
We kid you not, that thing drops 7% in like 30 seconds.
We're sitting here going, do you think we can do the whole show? I don't know. I'm down to like 60%. I just got here. Yeah, so it does suck.
What I want you to try is, while his back was turned, I changed the power policy on the system. Which we can actually show you. Yeah, I'm rocking Win 8 right here.
Yeah, so I'm sure that I'm going to get back and, like, Photoshop won't open and
around. No. It's really simple. You know, if some folks are finding that their battery is just not lasting nearly as long, you know, it's a power-hungry beast, a quad-core. Yours is a quad-core, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing's insane. You can go to power option, change advanced power options. One of the options that I really like is the processor power management and the maximum processor state. I've got mine set to 70% right now in order to get me a little bit extra battery life. Most Intel chips nowadays have like speed step.
Yeah.
So it'll go down automatically to when it's not in use. But with this power policy, it'll say, well, I'll only go back to 70% of what I could go back to even under load.
Mm-hmm.
So you might find that your system's a little bit slower when you set it this way, but it will... I've not actually noticed it even setting it down to 70%. I think I set yours down to 50%, so... Let's see if you can get any more than, say, 15 minutes out of your battery.
Yeah, so it is a monster, but I use that instead of a desktop PC. That's funny. I've got another one that's another 17-inch HP, and then when I have to carry both of them around, it just about kills me. So, welcome to our guest here. Thank you to the ladies over at Bing.
And what's funny is that this time, this is now looking at both of us.
Yeah. I think, All right, so first question from Tricky Dicky. He wrote in the comments. He said, can you download an OEM copy disc from somewhere being the net, and use a legitimate OEM sticker that's on your laptop as the key?
So barring where you're getting this thing from, you can, if you've like lost the machine, if you've lost the OS, you need to rebuild it. Best case is actually call your OEM and get the disk from them.
Yeah.
If you get an OEM disk and you're installing it on the same machine, you can install the key that came with that same machine. You cannot transfer the key to a different machine; it won't work.
Yeah.
It's locked to that machine.
But you can try anything. So
yeah, you can try anything,
that, and it doesn't mean it's going to work. All right, from Chris Brookins, he says, from our last show when we said, is it possible to have a browser running from another user account? He said, in Windows 7 Pro, you can hold the Shift key and right-click an application icon you want to run. From the menu, select Run as a different user and supply the other user credentials. I use this day in, day in a domain environment, but it also works with local accounts.
It does work. You know, it's true I did not specifically state that.
Because I
keep some things hidden.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really to hide it or anything. It's just that there are, it's not a complete scenario.
Yeah.
Right? So everything that you might expect to work with it may not work with it. Applications launched from IE in this other user, you may get unexpected results. So yes, there are definitely use cases for a domain environment is one of them. But if you're using it for as a security feature, it's not.
Yeah.
Only switching to another user is your best security feature.
Okay.
I think that was actually the primary case with the question from last week.
Yeah. Okay. Next question is from me, writing to you in the middle of the night probably. I said...
it was late.
Yeah. In File Explorer in Windows 8, how do you remove the list of frequently used items under file? And I had tried, here we'll open this up. This is Windows 8, click on File, in File Explorer, CC Frequent Places.
Yeah. So This is something that I never used. It actually took me a little bit to figure this one out, and it's somewhat non-intuitive.
Well, I went to delete history there, thinking that that was going to take care of things, but it had recent places and the address bar history, and those two didn't do what I was looking for.
Right, because the frequent places is not the same as the recent places,
yeah.
Oddly enough. It's tied to something very non-intuitive, is to the main Explorer properties.
Yeah.
And it is under jump lists.
So set this to zero.
Yes.
Uncheck both the boxes.
Yes.
Click apply.
So we can do that.
And
voila.
There you go. There you have it. So that is how you get rid of that.
For the people that use File Explorer and go to File
in recent places, or people have to do screencasts where they don't want that to show up. So, next question from Rico. He says, my company has a password policy in place for users to change your password every 90 days. I have 20 users that work remotely on VPN. I'd like to know, is there an easier way for them to change your own password on their own without going into OWA? The Cisco VPN client that we're using prompts them to change a password, but it does not take it. Any help with this would be great. Love the show. Thank you, Rico. We love you.
Oddly enough, OWA is the supported mechanism of doing this nowadays. There used to be a tool called ISS Password Reset for older versions of IIS 5, 4, 5, and 6 that you could go to, and that switched over to Active Server Pages, which eventually went to OWA. Now, that being said, you can actually go and take the binaries from Server 2003, set it up the same way, and it will work. Here's a blog post on it, setting up IIS password change site.
Okay.
It will work. Is it supported? Absolutely not. If something goes wrong, too bad, so sad.
You can write us again.
You can write us again, but really the OWA method is the best method.
Yeah.
It is supported, it works, it covers scenarios that IIS admin password reset does not.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, next question. I'm using IE9 at a workstation at work, and I'd like to know what settings I have to change so that I don't open a copy of the page I'm on when I hit Control-N, which is open up a new window, which copies the window that you're actually in. I already have it set to open blank tabs, but that does not affect new windows. So a couple things here.
So Control-N
Control-N opens up a copy of the page that you're on.
Right.
Which, you know, it's not the end of the world unless, you know, it's something you have to log into or, you know, bank side or whatever.
Right.
But you can hold Control and click the icon. That'll give you a new page. If you actually click it there. Or Shift. Is it Shift?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. So Shift. You can do Shift and click the icon. Or you can hold Control while clicking a link somewhere in there, and it'll open up a new window to that link if that's what you want to do. Or you had a good tip, Control T will open up a new tab. And while it's not a new window, it will be blank. So you can do that.
Yep.
So there's three different options to get you by using that. All right. Next.
I actually tend to like the new tab because it's a little bit less overhead. And really, if you need it to be in a new window, boom, you just drag it and you're done.
Sure. I like new tab too because most of the sites I'm going to end up going to are already listed there too, so I just click the one that I want to go to.
Ooh, check this out. My inadvertent clicking. Now we have more crabs watching us.
Yikes. That's like, not crab you eat. That's crab you run from. All right. All right. How can I pin or stick a window so it stays on top of other windows, even when it loses focus? Third-party software as an answer is acceptable. Well, that's good because there's a tip on howtogeek.com that'll tell you how to do this, and it's how to keep a window on top with a handy auto hotkey script. We'll link to this in the show notes. Go here. There's a little app that you can download. Great site, by the way, howtogeek, and it'll tell you how to do exactly that. So. Done. Deal. All right, next question. Anyone who uses USB devices in Windows 7 sees this message sooner or later. USB device not recognized. One of the USB devices attached to this computer has malfunctioned. And Windows does not recognize it. For assistance in solving this problem, click this message. I've seen this happen with my Kindle, my Palm, my Centro, my Garmin bicycle GPS, and several other devices. I'm not trying to fix the issue. Rather, I'm curious why it happens. What about the USB? It seems to cause this and show this message sooner or later. Yeah, I've seen this a few times. Mm-hmm. Well, quite a few times because I've been using USB for a long time. And typically when I see this, one of two things has happened. Either I have a device that's bad or I'm plugging into a hub that's bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's the only two times that you would see it.
I thought of another one that just came to mind of where I've seen it is when the port or the machine isn't outputting enough power.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got one of those devices that's just on the edge of, say, 500 milliwatts, mm-hmm. And for whatever reason it draws more, and your computer is already power taxed, it's not sending as much power to the port,
yeah.
You could have an intermittent device detection, non-detection, kind of a bounce back and forth mm-hmm. when so the device is physically inserted, but with the power drain or the power draw dips, it'll act like it's disconnected,
yeah.
And then you go through multiple very fast transitions. And then the system doesn't know, okay, what is its actual current state?
Yeah. And so when I'm talking about the hub in the past that I used to have this problem with, it was one of those ones where you plug it in and it gives you three extra ports, but it's not powered at all.
Right.
So that, again, is the same thing. It's going to be a power issue. But also I've had some hubs in the past, which I don't know what happens with them, but it's just all of a sudden they don't work well. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe the power supply is going bad or the hub's going bad, but I replace the hub and everything's golden again. So,
well, I mean, you know, I do this too occasionally. Is like you need a hub for really quick, you know, so you just go and buy a quick $4, $5 hub, right? Mm-hmm. You kind of get what you pay for, though. It's not like those parts are really that great.
Yeah.
They're not built to the stringent standards,
yeah.
Right? So you might just want to look at the devices, the cords that you're using. It could be a lot of different things. If you're mixing and matching cords, for example, between your devices, maybe there's an internal break.
Yeah. But if you have a device that actually gives you that message repeatedly, the first thing I would do is try plugging it right in the back of your motherboard on your computer and, you know, whatever slot you have on your laptop.
Right.
And see if you still have that issue. And if you do, you know, write us, let us know. We'll help you out. But, yeah. All right, next question. I'd like to adjust the chassis type in Windows 7. As some software is picking it up incorrectly, which is resulting in errors that best be resolved locally as opposed to pushing new software as possible. So I looked at it, I was like, chassis type? What's that? And I went to this page, or one of these pages here, that talked about all the different chassis types that can be reported. There's stuff like pizza box, lunch box, you know, mini tower. And it's like, oh, okay. So it's obviously it's not the software, the OS, that's picking this up. This is coming from somewhere else.
This is coming from the hardware. So it's coming from the motherboard, depending on what your motherboard is in. Like, you know, we talked about this earlier. You can stick your motherboard in a lot of different types of things.
Yeah.
Into, you know, like a 1U case, a 2U case, or a tower, or a desktop. Some of those motherboards that you buy, they're hard-coded to report something.
Yeah.
Some of them are, you know, really nice, and they have a header on the motherboard itself for particular chassis. You can plug it in, and there's a little daughter card on the chassis, and it'll start reporting particular information. There's also things like chassis intrusion, where there's a little switch on certain cases, and it will say, you know, if you set your BIOS up to say, you know, report security chassis issues, you pull off the case, it'll list a particular message in the BIOS log, and the BIOS log can be reported through WMI. All of this is really what he's asking for is, why is WMI reporting something that may not be exactly true? Well,
yeah.
It is true for the current motherboard and the current scenario that you're in. You might want to check on the motherboard itself for dip switches or jumper switches that might change the chassis type.
Yeah.
But without any further details or what it's currently plugged into,
it's a read-only thing. It's not like there's some registry key or something
exactly.
You can change. This is something that gets reported down the line from the hardware. And so I don't know of a way. Maybe, you know, someone out there knows a way to do it. But
yeah, I mean, the property itself is read-only.
Yeah. So probably not. All right. Next question. Can someone enlighten me to the shortest route to the device manager? Well, let's see.
Depends on your point of view, I suppose.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You know, if you know of a shorter one, let me know. But the shortest I know of is hitting Windows pause, or break. It might be listed as break. But Windows pause and then clicking on Device Manager. So it's not really like a one-key shortcut. It's a one shortcut plus click. But that's the shortest way I know of. And if anyone else has a shorter way, then, yeah, that would be awesome. But I don't know of one, and I couldn't find one. So it probably doesn't exist.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, really, what do you want to do? There's definitely no single key that'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. But that's pretty quick. So, right. You know, Windows pause and then click. There you go. All right, pick of the week time. Pick of the week. New Microsoft logo. It's here, Gove. It's here. You couldn't sleep last night, could you? This is it. Enjoy.
It's nice and clean.
Let it soak in. It is. It's very clean. It's nice, and it's got the kind of the tile look to it. I like that.
We even have a video.
There is a video there, so you can watch the video.
Pretty short.
Find out all about this. There's a nice blog post that we'll link to. And this is it. This is what's going to be on all the buildings, I imagine, very shortly here. There you go. Windows. Office. Wait for it. Xbox. Very exciting. So there you have it. You can read all about this, nice blog post on it, and find out how, why, what happened, how they came up with it, and where it will be used, and all the rest. But yeah, it looks kind of like the Microsoft Store, too.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Reminds me of that. So very cool. And so yeah, check it out. And that's it. Short show.
Short show.
I probably could have used my battery if I just would have waited to turn my machine on. But yeah, that's the show for this week. If you want to leave us comments, you can leave us comments in the show notes or email us at defragshow@microsoft.com. And we will go back and forth on whatever problem you might have. Zoom, Xbox, Windows 7, Windows 8. What else? Microsoft cordless phone system? Yes. Yeah.
Man, I haven't seen one of those in...
I have one in my office.
10 years.
It's awesome. Yeah. So anyway, write us. Just say hi. That's fine, too. See you next week.